Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast. What to watch
on Point of View.
All right, so this is how we officially welcome the weekend. Mm-hmm. When you hear that liner, what to watch,
yes,
with Leo, you know, we've arrived. We have now fully entered the gates
we are
of
present.
Weekend heaven.
We are present.
So Leroy, hello and welcome.
Hello everybody, how y'all doing?
We're good, we're good. I let me tell you,
mm-hmm,
ne, you have educated me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so proud of myself. I'm like, I've evolved. Hey? I have evolved.
We are
building
on your knowledge.
I found myself chuckling through a horror film. What is semi-horror,
something.
I would, back in the day, I would like, look, I would have my fingers all over my face and I would refuse to watch.
You'd be one eye open.
Like half an eye, not even an eye. But your selection was, some of it, quite hilarious, actually.
It was quite interesting.
It was
quite
hilarious because, it was scary, but it was funny.
And interesting, I thought, watching, I think.
Leroy, I'm a big girl now. I'm a big girl. So I'll tell you off the bat.
Okay.
What I thought was just too gorgeous. And it was locked.
Anthony Hopkins.
But I was.
Is it the story or the actor?
I tell you, mm-hmm, how difficult it is to act and not be seen.
I hear you.
Can I tell you?
The voice work was incredible.
This is my point. Mm-hmm. How, mm-hmm, this entire, well, not entire film, because you do get to see him, but the majority of the film, mm-hmm, you don't see him. And he is so amazing.
And for me, the fact that it's confined to a vehicle, right?
It was great.
Because
I loved it.
We don't have all the devices that make it visually appealing. We don't get to see the actor for most of the time.
And you know, as a South African, can I just say, I loved the feeling of revenge. The criminal yes, oscillating. And then suddenly something goes horribly wrong. Mm. And so this guy is very naughty. And as a South African, you will relate because we come across him a lot.
Every time you park your car, you
wish. Yes. And then he tries to do a number on this beautiful car, mm-hmm, and then something goes horribly wrong. And when that happens, I just sat there thinking, Bobo, I hope they're all watching.
It's funny you say that because my mom works in corrections, and she often used to say that back in the day when she started working, they would play a movie called Con Air with Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
And the idea was these guys were escaping from prison, but they're ultimately at court because the plane crashes and a very old movie.
I remember that,
and if you go to the national broadcaster, they'll still play sporadically. And
you're so spicy.
Every other week, along with Anaconda. And and she said the same thing, that, you know, it's those movies that are designed when they're watching in the prisons to show them that there's no, like crime doesn't pay.
Yeah.
Right? Ultimately, you'll get caught and the worst will happen. And for me, this movie...
This is it. this is my movie of the year.
Yeah.
Especially as a South African. You think you... Yeah.
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 You know, and knowing that one in three of us will be a victim of some sort of Grand Theft Auto hijacking, whatever. It actually did also have a bit of...
I loved it. I loved it for that reason. Yeah. I'm not sure that's objective. But it was two reasons. It was just the idea that a criminal gets to pay.
But I also enjoyed it from an artistic point of view, because you've got this character who has things going wrong in his life, and he is a complicated character.
Yeah.
Before he becomes a thief, right? The story revolves around needing some cash, and so he decides to commandeer a vehicle, and we'll leave it there as far as the details are concerned. But he gets his comeuppance in the vehicle, right? Where this higher power and the voice of Anthony Hopkins then sort of deals him his you know?
I must say, I think it must have been an interesting, difficult, creative decision to confine the entire thing in the vehicle. Boy,
I'm even thinking about how we shoot, right?
This is exactly it.
Because when you're on a normal set, we've got so much space to work with. You know,
I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
There must have been a set.
No, I think so. Yes. I think so. First of all,
my theory is that the film, the car is a set.
They had to create a lot of things. First of all, the car is fictional, but it's actually car we all know.
Yeah.
But it also, you know, he rigs it with all these things.
Yes.
He rigs it with all these things.
I think it's a set.
And they had to because we've got these wide shots sometimes where there's one particular one where he's lying in the back and I think the climate control in the car is like arctic and he's really sitting in there and he's stuck in the car for a while. You know, but she's also so interesting to see how the entire movie revolves around, like most of the movie, more than 85%
in that space. No, I think it was a brilliant, clever decision, tough, but also I must say, because remember, we are saying, just because we would know this, that it must have been a set.
Yeah.
He had to act like it's not a set.
Yeah. He had to
act like it's actually a vehicle.
And be claustrophobic.
Yes, exactly.
And also be aware of just... Because you know the interesting thing about a car is that you are inside and outside at the same time, right? You're inside the vehicle, but you're very aware of everything around you.
And the tinted things means that nobody else can see.
No one can see. I mean, there's a particular scene where this young lady comes up right up to the window and uses the window as a mirror.
Lipstick.
And this guy is like screaming his lungs out from within the vehicle.
She's busy with the lipstick.
You know.
She's so pretty.
I even found interesting things that would even mess with my mind, right? Yeah. The fact that the car has a glass roof.
Yep.
It also meant that the prisonness of it all still feels like, you know. But what I really enjoyed was when Anthony Hopkins, the human.
I love it.
Gets into the car with him.
Yes.
Because remember when we were watching The Two Popes and we were chatting about how Anthony Hopkins just has this wonderful way of being fragile and scary. Like, whatever the brief is, he knows how to really embody it.
He doesn't exert himself too much.
No.
But it's all there.
It's so effortless. It just feels like he...
Hi.
Him and Al Pacino are the only people.
That's my car.
Yeah. Why are you taking my car?
That's my car.
Anthony Hopkins and Al Pacino, for me, are the two actors who I know to do that effortlessly.
Brilliant.
Effortlessly.
I mean, I cannot tell you this, but this man in his aging era, he is just like fine wine.
Yeah.
Just like it's just effortless and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And you've got to watch it. It's locked. What was it? It came out on the 21st
of March.
Okay.
Yes, it's in theaters.
Death of a Unicorn.
Yeah. Listen, so The Death of a Unicorn for me is an interesting way of... in the world where we're trying to, you know, amalgamate make-belief and sort of these real epic movies, for me it was very interesting because of the middle ground it plays. So the story revolves around dad and daughter. The dad is part of a business, and his boss, Grant, is a pharmaceutical boss, right? And he's got cancer and he wants to bequeath a very big part of the business to his employee, but only after he's established the kind of person he is. And the way he will establish the chops of this gentleman is to see him interacting with his daughter and they're going to dinner as they drive out, they hit a unicorn. Yeah, like the horse with the unicorn.
Yeah.
And then a series of things happen. And obviously, unicorns are magical.
Yes.
And they find that they can do a lot of things with their blood and the horn and other ailments.
And because we are human like that, and we want everything.
And they want to monetize it, right? But for me, it was interesting because I think maybe it's in the time we live in, but there's so many things I'm watching and going, America.
Yes.
Because you now see how they're trying to extrapolate a lot of
everything.
These things. Yeah. But also to turn a quick buck because now they're realizing, oh, it really has a lot of
properties. That can do many things.
Who is the highest bidder? And we see then how nature exacts its own revenge on them.
I found it predictable. I've seen this so many times.
I found the humor to be lazy.
Yeah, I found the storyline so predictable. We've seen this before where nature wants to get back at us and we realize, oh, we're so greedy. And
I'm also glad they didn't try and give me this because of the make-believe nature of it. It was also 10, and you'll see in the review the other movie who I absolutely loathed, that we, when we suspend disbelief, we also need to make sure that it's not so far down that we sit down and we go, come on. And for me, it was a little difficult to reconcile a unicorn and but I also think and also it not being a family friendly movie because there's lots of, you know, F bombs are being thrown around, there's lots of, you know, expletives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so
it was I don't know. I think it was a hit and a miss.
Yeah. I think just from a viewing point of view, as an adult, I'm not gonna go and watch a movie that says there's a unicorn.
This is it. But then children can't watch it either.
This is my point exactly. Mm. Unless I'm taking my niece to the movies, I know it's a unicorn. I'm willing to sit through it.
Yeah.
But now you're saying to me, unicorns. So you and I would go on a Friday night and go. Yeah.
And it's, it's not exciting. It really wasn't exciting.
But if you're tantalized by unicorns, it's in theaters as of tomorrow.
Before we go to I want to talk about what you can take your children to.
Yes.
Snow White.
Do you like Snow White?
Can I just tell you, it looked delicious.
It did.
It looked magic. It looked like a fairy tale.
Mm.
I just thought to myself, okay, you know how you've seen it all. You've seen all the wonderful technology and all.
Mm.
But this looked like
still very romantic.
Kinyana, like a sweet. It had a like a beautiful. It was beautiful. It was so fluffy.
So you remember all of
this? That's all I wanted to say. It just looked beautiful. Like it was fluffy and it was like a cupcake.
You remember
like
I said 30 seconds ago that I'll tell you other movie I hated?
Yeah.
Well, Snow White. Absolutely diabolical. I was so angry at Snow White.
It looked like a cupcake, man.
I don't know it was a musical to begin with, and you know my feelings towards musical.
Can I ask a strange question? Do you think she was singing?
No.
I knew it. Because she looked like she's not the one singing.
I love how, you know, I think you're in the room with me because the reviewers were like, so she does do some singing, but it's assisted singing.
I could see her more.
So my real question is, what is assisted singing? You know, you and I will never know. AI or what?
AI.
So there's a lot of things that were very weird here. So the idea of the stepmom, for instance. Yes. So the story is no different from the original one. Yes. We have, and for the first time, the huntsman is a black man, yellow, inclusivity. So the idea is Snow White, you know, her dad passes. The stepmom becomes queen and. But there's this thing they try to do where they try to give us this weird, like, dark humor.
Yeah.
So where the queen becomes... You can't help but go back to the idea of Snow White and the Huntsman with Charlize Theron as a stepmom. It's just so confusing at some points. Then the little the dwarfs in the seven dwarfs, they're interesting because, again, as you say, it's very sweet. There's musical and.
Yes.
But there's also things that annoyed me about it because in the sweetness, they had lots of inconsistencies.
No,
I hated the makeup.
Leroy,
I hated the hair.
You didn't hear me. It's just visually. Everything else didn't work. So the storyline didn't work.
Yeah.
Nothing. The plot didn't. Nothing worked.
Yeah.
But visually, it looked like a cupcake. It looked like, I want to eat it up.
So people were asking, is this one of those blockbusters where they make what is the term that we use? It escapes me now. But when we take a fairy tale and put real people in it,
I don't know. I don't know what they did. I don't know. I had just two questions.
Mm.
Are they going to do this thing that they did with a Barbie film? Is it going to...
Yeah.
Have they spent so much money that they have to have returns?
Do you want to know how much they spent?
How much?
$270 million.
That's crazy.
Between $240 and $270 million. And someone said that it looks like they stole the $240 and put it under a mattress
yes,
and used only $30.
I don't know they're going to get it back.
The green screen was terrible.
Yes, I don't know they're going to get it back. Yeah. I don't know if... because, you know, the thing about young people now... They grew up in this digital era.
Yeah.
Even they can tell.
Yeah.
Even they
8K.
Can tell. Yeah.
They live in 8K.
Yeah.
We still remember times when Tando would send me a JPEG or MMS. They don't know what that is.
I'm not sure it's going to bring that money back. I think it'll be a total flop.
But I must tell you, there's been global consensus that this is the worst Snow White. And for me, it was very... Because before I even watched it, I saw what was the conversation. And shame, they use the same picture of Snow White's close-up. But apparently, the translation from the book, so even with the costume, and the makeup didn't translate very well.
No, it didn't.
And apparently it was the acting prowess was what let it down.
I feel sorry for her. Why did they do that to her?
But I also think that it's when you have an epic like Snow White, where even us as the oldies remember it, you're messing around with a formula that needs to be well placed. What worked with Snow White was that and the Huntsman with Charlize Theron it was almost made into an epic. The story we got the building blocks and then it was made into just big epic.
Mm.
This one is a story being retold in its nuts and bolts, but it's not.
It's just not staying true to it. Yeah. That poor girl, you know, this is not the way to start.
Look, I'll tell you this. From where she's got enough going on in the movie for her to be able to come back and redeem. I think there's
young person who's going to say no to a Sona White.
Absolutely.
So let's just forgive her. It's not her fault.
And also big budget. I mean, quarter of $1 billion is enough for me to go on to the bill.
Okay. What else are we watching?
So we're also watching
Misericordia.
It's French. So I love this because it's absolutely amazing. When I was a soap opera, you know, many years ago I was in America and I came out of a hotel room and on the screen was the Spanish cable.
Yeah.
And it was a Telemundo telenovela situation. Mm. I turned it on because I needed the TV on, and I ended up sitting for 3 hours watching the Telemundo.
Yeah.
I just got so engrossed. This is exactly like that. It moves so quickly that you blink and it's gone. The story revolves around this young man who comes into town because he's there to bury his boss, right? They work in a bakery.
Yeah.
He's there to bury his boss. But him and the boss's son are the same age. And so the boss has passed and now he's coming to pay his condolences, but he ends up having a little tipple and the widow says, listen, you can't drive. Stay home.
La la la,
and you'll go tomorrow. But the son thinks that Jeremy wants to get fresh with his mother. So there's a fight that ensues and someone kills someone else. And then you see this wonderful sort of whodunit, because then there's a priest involved called Pastor Philippe, who's my favorite character, who's also sort of living his like erotic fantasies.
Yes.
And it's one you'll find one you love.
Yeah.
I love Pastor Philippe because he also sort of talks to the forbidden fruit of even the most pure of people. It is so interesting. It did very well in Cannes last year. And so it is now being on limited release in theaters. You have to go watch it. It's called Misericordia, and it's in theaters as we speak.
And they're the actual theater.
Yes, we went to the theater. So this was actually sent to me by one of the actors, right? Le Tabo and I worked many years ago. And it's so interesting because he's now at the Joburg Theater and they're putting on this wonderful show called Born Naked, which is very interesting because it's almost like a dark take on the world of drag.
Yes.
When I mean dark, I don't mean sort of unwarranted, but I'm saying we always see drag as this glitter and fun and delicious, and we never see the dark side of it. And what we do here is we go through with this character called Black Widow, who is this fabulous drag queen, and we see the historic relationship between a drag mother, a house mother, and a house child, and then also this character of Black Pearl going through Johannesburg. And sort of going through the highways and byways, almost exerting their power. For me, it was so wonderful to watch, especially in a world where we have lots of trans issues going on right now. You know, the LGBTI community is under attack from the forces across the pond and many others. And it's so interesting to see this larger-than-life queen of bling make this appearance in Johannesburg as a drag artist, but also a wonderful take on drag culture, where again, I think you said it well the last time, that you're immersed when it's done respectfully,
and
the characters understand drag because they themselves are drag artists. It is at the Joburg Theatre from today, being the 27th, all the way to the 30th of March, and the 30th of March is a matinee.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks, Leroy. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.